Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's good to see all of you here, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We do have a few announcements. First of all, today at 2 p.m., we have our council meeting. Our volunteers for Food Pantry this week are Kathleen and Ron McPhee. On Tuesday at 10 a.m., we are resuming Bible study right here. Thursday at 2 p.m. is bell choir practice. Also, right over where you picked up the bulletins and outside in the fellowship area, you will see these purple slips, and you will also see envelopes that go with them. Our women's fellowship group is conducting a no-bake bake sale in order to raise some funds for all the different things that we may not think about as being needs that our women's group take care of. So they say they need to pay for altar guild supplies, for kitchen and church supplies, for funeral receptions, for cleaning supplies, for fair trade items, and for special requests, including strange requests from the pastor for a new desk, which was covered. So consider how you can donate to this particular cause. And also, if we don't have correct information from you, or if you are new to us, please fill out one of these little cards that you will find in your pew, because we want to make sure that things are up to date and that we know how to contact you. Do we have any other announcements? Then let's stand as we join together in the confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 733. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Kyrie is on page 165, and the Canticle of Praise is on page 167 of the hymnal. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. God, overflowing with mercy and compassion, you lead back to yourself all those who go astray. Preserve your people in your loving care, that we may reject whatever is contrary to you, and may follow all things that sustain our life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 32nd chapter of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf, and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it, and said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. And of you I will make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should these Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath. Change your mind and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read Psalm 51 responsively. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses.
Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my offenses, and my sin is ever before me.
Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so you are justified when you speak, and right in your judgment.
Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb.
Indeed, you delight in truth deep within me, and would have me know wisdom deep within.
Remove my sins with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my wickedness.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me."
The second reading is from the first chapter of 1 Timothy. "I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, to honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever lost anything of value?
How many times?
My husband can tell you how I have a penchant for losing my keys, so that I have to put them in a particular place as soon as I get home, or I will have no idea where they are. I routinely lose my cell phone. It's why I have an alarm set at 8 o'clock, so that if I lose it in the house, I can hear it when it goes off at 8. And there have been times that I've lost something really important, and I have searched and searched and searched and searched for it until I have found it. Has that happened to you?
Yes,
it has. Why? Why do we go searching for the thing that is missing? Because we think we need it. Because it's ours.
Or it has meaning.
It has some sort of meaning. There's a reason we go searching after it, because it's important to us. And so in today's gospel, we get two parables. One about a shepherd who has a sheep that goes missing. And he leaves the 99, undoubtedly in the care of other shepherds, to go searching for the one who is lost. We know sheep, don't we? Sheep are not the brightest creatures in the barnyard. And they tend to go wandering. I know they're cute and fluffy and all that, but they tend to go wandering and doing things that are not to their advantage. And knowing that, I always wonder when the Bible tells us that we are like sheep going astray. So the shepherd, knowing that one of his precious flock is missing, goes searching for it, goes over hill and around rocks and through the brambles, and finally finds that one who has strayed and picks it up, puts it over his shoulders, rejoicing that he has found the lost one, and then goes home and calls those together that he knows and says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost." And the woman with the coins, she has 10 of them, 10 silver coins. That would be equivalent to about 10 days' wages, those 10 coins. So that one coin is one whole day's work. So it's not like she lost a dime. Some of us would go searching even for that. But she's lost a considerable sum of money. And you can see her picking up all of the jugs and sweeping under every nook and cranny, trying to figure out where that coin might be, that little glint of silver that she's looking for. And she finally finds it after that diligent search, searching over and over again. I know sometimes I don't know what it is. It can be right in front of me, and I don't see it. And I keep looking and looking, and finally there it is. And she rejoices that she's found that coin. And she calls together those that she knows and says, "Rejoice with me, because I have found what was lost." There are several hymns that we have that talk about how once we were lost and now have been found. Sound familiar? Or "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," that says how we have this tendency to wander far from the God that we love. So we know who we are in the story. We're the ones who become lost. The story isn't so much about us as it is about the one who seeks us, the one who searches diligently for us until at last we are found. And you know who that is. That is our God who searches for us because we are his and because we are precious and because he doesn't want to lose even a single one of us. When you look back at our first reading, you'll see some interesting things. Now, the people have turned away from, really, their belief in God. Moses has gone up the mountain, and he's gone for so long that the people grumble. And then they make for themselves that calf to worship. Oh, God's response. Your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. Not my people, your people, Moses. These are your people. You're in charge of them. You're responsible for them. They have made an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it. I've seen how stiff-necked this people are. Let me alone so that my wrath can burn against them and I may consume them and make of you a great nation. Those of you with children, when you talk to your spouse about the child who is misbehaved, does that sometimes become your child, your son, your daughter? Do you want to hear what your son has done, what your daughter has done? Of course, when they do something great, it's, you know, my child, our child. But when they've misbehaved, it's your child. Look, you've got to do something about these children of yours. Not my children. Your children. You do something about them. And that's what God is saying is they're yours. And, you know, I've had it with them. I know I made this covenant, but I forget it. Forget it. Moses, I'm just going to destroy them and make of you that great nation. And Moses' response was, Lord, why does your wrath burn so hard against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power? Why should the Egyptians say that you have done this to your people? Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel. Remember that you swore to them by your own self, saying that I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land I promised I will give to your descendants, and they will inherit it forever. Moses is saying, these are not my people. These are your people, Lord. And you made that promise, not to me, but to the ancestors. It's like saying, what sort of God would you be if you were to go back on your promise? And we're told that God did not bring about the disaster that he planned to bring upon his people. This is about the faithfulness of our God, the one who makes promises and keeps them, the one who does acknowledge that we are his people. We are members of his own flock. We are like those precious coins, and he doesn't want to lose a single one of us. Have you ever put together a puzzle and found a piece missing? It's really frustrating because the picture isn't complete unless you have all of the pieces. And the kingdom of God isn't really complete unless we have all of its members. I know sometimes I've looked at this gospel message and thought, well, what God's really referring to are those lost ones out there, those ones who haven't heard about God and about Jesus. And he's not really speaking to me, but he is. Who was this story for? It was for the Pharisees and the scribes who were grumbling and saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. Because gathered around Jesus already are those who want to hear, who want to be found. The Pharisees and the scribes don't think that they're even lost. When you look at these parables, You have to ask yourself a couple of questions. What does the sheep do to be found? Nothing. It may baa, and they may call the shepherd, but it may also call the wolf. And that coin, what did it do to be found? It just lay there. It did absolutely nothing. It could do less than the sheep. And what does this tell us about God? That even when we don't know that we're lost, even when there is nothing that we can do, God still looks for us, diligently searches for us until we are found. And God rejoices and calls on everyone else to rejoice. Jesus is saying, all right, Pharisees and scribes, even if you are not lost, then be part of those who rejoice when these sinners and tax collectors have been found. So this is a message about our God, the faithfulness of our God, the diligence of our God when we go astray, like that foolish sheep, when we're lost, like that coin. There isn't anything that we can do but allow God to find us. Because God is not the one who's lost. Sometimes people say, but God seems so far away. It's not that God's far away, it's that we're far from God. God will always be searching. God will always welcome us back, no matter how far we stray. Because we belong to God, and we are precious to God, and God will do nothing. Nothing to stop searching for us. I once was lost, but now am found. Praise be to God. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. The word should sound a bit familiar because it is based on the 23rd Psalm. When you think of God as shepherd, when you think of God as the one who finds those sheep who stray. So let us sing together, number 502.
Thank you.
confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As scattered grains of wheat are gathered together into one bread, so let us gather our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of God's good creation. Your people receive mercy, and your grace overflows in our lives. Fill your church with faith and love, and give understanding hearts to those who work to strengthen our ecumenical and interreligious commitments. God of grace, hear our prayer. Your creation groans as it suffers the impacts of pollution and lack of care. As the seasons change, renew in us the will to protect plants, animals, and habitats. Bless us with bountiful harvests that all may share. God of grace, hear our prayer. Your world is shattered and the nations rage. Remember us in your mercy. Teach wisdom to our elected leaders so that we may know peace in our world, peace in our homes, and peace in our hearts. God of grace, hear our prayer. Your children wander homeless, and the hungry cry for bread. Seek out those who are lost or lonely, anxious or depressed, or struggling with addiction or illness. Provide for those in any need, especially those on our prayer chain, and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. God of grace, hear our prayer. Your work is done in this congregation with our hands, feet, voices, minds, and hearts. Build up the ministries of this community that we serve our neighbors and welcome the stranger in your name. God of grace, hear our prayer. Your blessed saints who have died now rest in your presence. Give us thankful hearts for those who have been examples of faith in our lives, and receive us with joy when we come to share eternal life with you. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Gather together in the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, gracious God, we offer these and all our prayers to you, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for sending your offering to the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory song, We Are an Offering. It's number 692.
Thank you. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Wait. Thanks be Thank you.